This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Democrats are violent, and they're going to keep being violent, and we're going to explain how they justify that in their minds. Sarah Gonzalez is here. Ron Johnson of Wisconsin is here. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Democrats are communists, and communists are violent. Now, when you see communists committing acts of violence, justifying acts of violence, cheering on acts of violence, it can be confusing because you understand that's still a human being, it's still a person. How do you justify the things you say, the things you do, when you are so violent towards people who oppose you politically? For instance, there was a video, it came out, it was all over the internet all weekend long, of some old woman. I mean, this lady looks like she should be baking cookies for her grandkids. Some old woman wearing a kindness shirt doing this.
Escucha! 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 Trump, escucha, estamos en la lucha. Trump, escucha.
Eh? Make America kind again, as she beats on an effigy of Donald Trump. So let's talk about her mind and how it works. How she justify that? Think about that moment. She's putting her Make America Kind Again t-shirt on, and she's going out to grab a stick and beat on the President of the United States of America. How does she merge those two worlds? Well, let's rewind a ways back and understand this. Mao Zedong famously said that all political power comes from the barrel of a gun. Communists have always used violence, and they cheer for it because they think violence is necessary to fight the revolution. And to be honest, they're correct. If you're going to have a revolution against an existing government, an existing power structure, there's really no such thing as a non-violent one. That's not a thing that exists. Violence is obviously going to be part of the equation. Communists want their street animals to commit acts of violence. The threats, the assaults, the murders, the assassinations. This is not something that happens and they go, oopsie, we spilled the milk again. This is their intent. So, how do you get grandma to do that? How do you get that little old lady probably collecting a social security check to become an animal like that? Well, you have to find some way she can justify it in her mind. And that brings me to a man, maybe you've heard of him before. He was a German communist by the name of Herbert Marcuse. I'm sure I'm not saying that right. I went to community college, but that was his name. And he really pioneered this concept of not tolerance, you see, liberating tolerance. What's that? What is liberating tolerance? Well, you can read it right there. Liberating tolerance then would mean intolerance against movements from the right and toleration of movements from the left. It's really that simple, you see. If you want to turn Granny into a violent little street animal, you just simply get it through her head that kindness is only for the communists. Kindness is only for her side and her people. In fact, liberating tolerance requires her to be nasty and violent to anything on the right. So when she grabs that stick with her Make America Kind Again shirt on, she's completely justified. She doesn't have to tolerate anything to the right. In fact, true kindness means smashing anything to the right, always giving their street animals an excuse to justify it. I mean, how many times have you seen the term Nazi?
Donald Trump is America's Hitler.
Yeah.
A unified Reich? That's Hitler's language. That's not America's. He cares about holding on to power. I care about you.
Donald Trump is acting like a Nazi, talking like a Nazi, and now posting like a Nazi.
And by the way, out there, that hat that you keep wearing, that red hat that says Make America Great Again, that tells people that you go along with this. So you might as well just put a swastika on the hat.
Adolf Hitler was interviewed, and I'm quoting from his article where he was interviewed. He said, "Therefore, I say America is for Americans." Stephen Miller took the stage on Sunday evening, and he said, "America is for Americans." He is parroting the exact words of Adolf Hitler.
Why do this? None of that shocked you. You've probably seen it before. Why are they always talking about Nazis and Hitler?
At some point, I'm going to have grandchildren, and they are going to ask me, "Granddad, Grandpap, what did you do when the bad men come?" And what am I going to say to those kids, right? What am I going to say to my future grandkids about what I did in this moment? The answer can't be nothing. What anybody who is listening to me is doing right now is what you would have done at all of those great and evil points in history. What you're doing right now is what you would have done during Jim Crow. What you're doing right now is what you would have done during Pinochet or Hitler or Stalin or any of the other bad guys in history. What you're doing right now is what you would have done then. So, who do you want to be?
10 days later, Charlie Kirk was assassinated. 10 days after that. Now, how could you do that? A young man, wonderful husband, father, just went and talked to people? Well, have you read any of the writings, the text messages from that terrible assassin? Doesn't take long to thumb through it to figure out he thought he was the good guy in this story. He thought he was the soldier marching off to war to vanquish evil, completely justified in his mind as he pulled that trigger. And after Charlie was assassinated, you do remember the response, right?
"We're got Charlie in the neck, in the neck! We're got Charlie in the neck!"
Charlie Kirk just got shot in the neck. Hey, ooh, ha, ooh.
Charlie Kirk got shot and he's dead! Finally! Thank you, can we keep this up?
Charlie Kirk was a f***ing Nazi. He was a f***ing Nazi. And you know what kind of Nazi is the best Nazi? A dead one.
Eye for an eye, bitch. I think the only thing that went wrong that day was that Trump wasn't standing behind him getting a secondhand bullet.
You support Charlie Kirk being killed?
Yes, I do.
You support Charlie Kirk shooter?
Sure do.
Charlie Kirk was a big advocate for the Second Amendment. It worked out well for him.
Why are you mourning the death of a literal Nazi?
All those freaks, they think they're the good guy in this little tale. And here's something that is, it may be difficult to hear, but you're probably going to have to take my word for this, unless you live in a blue area, and then you'll know what I say is true. I've lived in a blue area before. These people who go online and cheer for death and celebrate death and assassinate him and kill the Nazis and things like that, you may think they're the exception. Well, okay, you grabbed some kook, and you grabbed some video, like libs of TikTok, they grabbed this video, Southwest Airlines flight attendant, and talk about 8647.
Exclusive today from Libs of TikTok that shows just how far the moral decay has gone. Meet Michelle Carpino, who according to her LinkedIn appears to work for Southwest Airlines. She allegedly posted, "We need better assassins," after the shooting at last week's White House Correspondents' Dinner, while also appearing to pray for the death of President Trump. Her social media also includes multiple anti-Trump, anti-MAGA, and anti-ICE posts. She also posted 8647, which some interpret as a threat meaning death to Trump.
That's how all Democrats talk. I'm sorry. When they get together, when they feel that they are only around other Democrats, that is how they talk all the time. And I don't say this because I cheer for it. I'm just telling you what I have experienced. I lived in a blue area, and when I was in a place and they didn't know I was me and they didn't know I believed what I believed, when Democrats get together, that's how they all talk. Hopefully someone kills him. I can't believe we haven't killed him yet. Someone better kill him. I wish he would just die over and over and over again. These people are deeply, deeply violent. They are deeply demonic. What makes it even more dangerous is, as I've explained time and time again, they feel like they are the good guy in this story. And so what I want you to take from this is this. The violence is not going to stop. Every time there's an assassination, an attempted assassination, the right will stand up and will say things like, well, are you finally going to stop with the Nazi stuff? Are you finally going to tone down the rhetoric? Don't you think it's finally time to tone down the rhetoric? Did they tone down the rhetoric after a Bernie Sanders fan tried to kill a bunch of GOP congressmen at a baseball game? Did they tone down the rhetoric when Trump got shot in the head? Did they tone down the rhetoric when another gunman tried to kill Trump as he played golf? Did they tone down the rhetoric after Charlie Kirk was assassinated? Did they tone down the rhetoric when a gunman just went charging through the metal detector trying to kill everybody in the administration? No, they didn't. Because they want these things to happen. It's not that they're okay with these things happening. They want these things to happen. We are surrounded by demonic, violent communists. They're called Democrats. And it is important we understand they are not going to change at all. We have to be aware of what we're up against, all right? All that may have made you uncomfortable, it probably did, but I am right. We still have so much to go here. We have to talk to Senator Ron Johnson. We have to talk to Sarah Gonzalez. You're going to want to see what Sarah Gonzalez has to say about what's happening in places like Texas. Before we get to that, what do you say we get ourselves ready for what might be a very ugly future? Have you started your supplements from Chalk? The best natural herbal supplements around. I discovered Chalk during COVID when every other company was turning into an ugly little tyrannical regime. Chalk was out there talking about freedom, telling you to take your stupid mask off and go outside and get some sunshine. We're talking natural herbal supplements, clinically tested, 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. Go get a Chalk subscription. We are talking about life-changing stuff here. Chalk.com/JesseTV. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Well, here's the situation, and it's not an ideal situation, but we might as well discuss it. I realize we just discussed something that wasn't ideal, so let's get through this here. Foreigners. The mass importation or mass deportation of foreigners, however you want to discuss the subject. It is everything to the communists, in not just the United States of America, in all Western societies where communism is taking over. You see this throughout Europe. It is everything. There are many, many, many things that are kind of side issues for the Democrat Party. They'll act like they care about them, and they'll give them some lip service, but if it stays, it stays. If it goes, it goes. It's not the end of the world. Please know that that is not the mass importation or deportation of foreigners. With the mass importation of foreigners, the communists cannot possibly lose. They can't. There's nothing you or I can do if they continue to bring in hordes of foreign barbarians, buy them with taxpayer money, they'll buy their vote, and eventually we are simply crowded out. We're simply outnumbered. As Napoleon said, quantity has a quality all its own. There's nothing we can do if we continue to get foreigners flooding into this country. That's the bad news. The good news is this. They cannot possibly win if we get the foreigners out. And they know it. Why do you think all the street animals campaign on this all the time?
Anti-ICE activists, take a look. They've taken over the checkout counters here at this Home Depot here in Westlake. We want to bring you in just a little closer. We're not going inside the store, but you can see that there are signs that say ICE out of the Home Depot. They've essentially stopped business here, and I want to bring in Priscilla. We were just speaking here with Priscilla. You're with Democratic Socialists of Los Angeles. Priscilla, tell us what you guys are doing here.
Yeah, we are on International Workers' Day, halting for a moment, a piece of property. That in the end will not affect the pockets of this billionaire's profit that he's making. And we're asking for them to end collaboration with ICE. This city is of migrants, and we are asking for them to stop allowing ICE in here and snatching day laborers from their parking lots and inside their stores.
And Priscilla, we know that through all of the immigration enforcement that started back in June of last year, that Home Depots have been a target for that immigration enforcement, and I know that you want more rights for day laborers. Can you talk some specifics, what you'd like to see?
Well, and for with a collaboration to ICE, obviously, for what we're aiming for in the long run is amnesty.
Don't think it's just street animals. You know how badly amnesty pulls in the United States of America? It's not something the American people want at all. Yet, the most powerful Democrat probably in Washington, D.C., Chuck Schumer, he'll stand up and talk openly about it. Why?
Now more than ever, we're short of workers. We have a population that is not reproducing it on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the Dreamers, and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the Dreamers, but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here.
Yeah. Why would you say that? Because he understands it doesn't matter how well it pulls or poorly it pulls with the American people. If we can just bring them in and give them citizenship, he never loses another election. It means power for them. The Lake and Riley Act is one of those things that was very popular because we got this horrible story about this beautiful young girl butchered by a barbarian that was brought into the country on purpose by the Biden administration. So got some stiffer penalties, got the Lake and Riley Act. The lady who's probably going to be the next governor of Minnesota doesn't like it.
The very first vote in the second Trump administration that he brought forward was for the Laken Riley Act. It was one of his biggest priorities. It stripped due process away from immigrants, allowed for the indefinite detention of adults and children, and was the green light to give ICE unprecedented power to totally terrorize our communities.
Why would you want foreign barbarians here? Rapists, thieves, and murderers. Because they terrorize our society. They will vote en masse for Democrats every single time. If you are an America-hating savage, I mean, that's what a Democrat is. If you are an America-hating savage, the mass importation of foreigners gives you everything you could ever want. It gives you violence on the city streets. That's what they want. It gives you the destruction overall of America. That's what they want. It gives you political power. That's what they want. It is the ultimate issue. No matter where you stand on all the other issues, you'll never get what you want with the mass importation of foreigners. But if we get them out, if we deport them by the million, get 50 million of them out of your country, we cannot lose. It is the issue. Everything else is secondary. Remember that. All right. Talk to Sarah Gonzalez. Speaking of foreigners, I bet you didn't know these visas were for sale, did you? Yeah, wait till you hear what Sarah has to say. Before we talk to Sarah, let me talk to you about beating inflation. You see, your cell phone bill, it's too high. You're paying too much because you're paying Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. You don't need to pay those prices. There's a patriotic mobile company out there, and they can make it all better. They can make your bill go way down, and when you talk to somebody, they'll speak English. It was just earlier today. I had to get on the phone with the doctor's office. Got on the phone with the doctor's office. I lasted 5 minutes, and I hung up the phone because I couldn't understand the freaking foreigner on the other end of the line. But not at Pure Talk. They hire Americans right here at home. They'll charge you way less. They're on the same towers. There's just no need to have Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
He sells them. He sells visas. So, but I know that he has sponsored people with visas, and then he gets them to work for him for next to nothing. These are people who can pay him $20,000 for their visa.
I see.
Someone's paying their rent, paying their car payments, and all of that stuff, because when they're working here, they're not earning enough to make rent.
Right.
So, the arrangement is made in China.
Yeah.
These are families of means.
I see.
And they're using him to earn. So once he get, they get here, he either puts them to work for cheap, or they set about trying to find work where someone will genuinely sponsor them.
Right.
This is just a foothold in.
Okay, I'm confused. It sounded really bad, but I need some clarification on some things. Joining me now, Sarah Gonzalez, host of Unfiltered. Okay, Sarah, walk me through what exactly I was looking at there, because it sounded bad.
Yeah, Jesse, your instincts are correct. It is pretty bad. So I spoke to a whistleblower who told me that there is a daycare in Allen, Texas, that is, the owner of the daycare is sponsoring H-1B visas for essentially high-ranking, well-to-do people in China. Now, what she also went on to tell me is that this man's father is a high in the Chinese government, which of course would mean that he is a CCP member. So we've got, you know, Chinese nationals coming here into the state of Texas and into this country, selling visas for $20,000 a pop to all of his Chinese national friends, who are then making their way over here to do and go God knows what and where.
Okay, sir, couple nerdy details I have to get clarification
sure.
on here.
Please.
How does he have the visas to sell? How does this work?
So the way that it works is that he has to apply within the federal government. So he has to apply for these H-1B visas, and he, as the company, sponsors these people. So what we believe that he is doing, this is all alleged, I can't prove it because I don't have access to all of the government, you know, behind the scenes portals that would give me this information. But I have to ask, if this is a daycare, so he's running a daycare and he's running an autism behavioral center. Those are the only companies that we know of that he runs. I have to ask why he would need, these are the visas he's applying for, supply chain analyst, market research analyst, things that you would not think that a daycare or a autism behavioral therapy center would need. And on top of that, he's applying for these visas. The daycare and the autism behavioral center, when we went, both were inoperable. And I know from the whistleblower's account that the daycare has been actually inoperable for over a year. So what this means, Jesse, is that this man is applying to the federal government, the Department of Labor, and USCIS, and saying he needs these jobs, and somehow they're not passing. You know, they're not. There's no red flags. It's passing the vibe check for them, and they are giving him these visas to sponsor. I got a lot of questions of what the hell's going on within the federal government that a place like this could get even one visa, let alone the amount that he's been able to receive. It's baffling.
Okay, Sarah, you're all over this investigative reporting stuff, so I have to ask, can you explain to me why daycares seem to come up so often? Daycares and some sort of medical care. It seems to be these are the scam hubs for these dirty foreigners. What's going on?
Yeah, I think that essentially that it makes it easier for these people to get money from the government, whether that is the federal government, whether that is, the state government. It makes it easier to take in subsidies. You have childcare subsidies within, you know, the state of Texas and many other states. You also have, with regard to these medical establishments that you mentioned, there's a whole heck of a lot of subsidies to be made there as well. So I think that they're finding these different industries where they can bring in their own money, ask the government, whether it be a small business loan or it be the child care subsidy or the Medicare. I mean, they are finding these industries and they are, of course, going in and setting up all of these fake businesses, raking in taxpayer dollars. And oftentimes, the most egregious part, Jesse, is oftentimes they're sending remittances back to their home country. So the money's not even staying here. They're just sending it home. There's a lot of fraud. I have it on good authority that Texas is going to be one of the next places that the federal government decides to come root out all of the bad actors, because there are a lot of them here in the state.
All right. Again, sorry to keep peppering you with these details, but you know things That's I do okay. not know because you've dug into so much of this stuff. I understand that a lot of these foreigners are filthy, horrible people who steal for a living and their cultures are garbage. I get all that. But I have a difficult time believing they're intelligent enough to come over and on their own magically figure out this is a government program I can scam. This is something I can scam without somebody in the government helping them do so. Correct?
Jesse, I would say you're onto something. I too have believed for a while, the more that I keep digging, the more layers of the onion that I keep peeling back, and I'm like, this all stinks. In fact, I have been questioning whether or not there is someone within USCIS and the Department of Labor who is actually helping these people, who is maybe turning a blind eye to all of the obvious fraud that is happening, because it's so egregious, you'd have to believe that they would need help. And I'll just go over to the state of Minnesota for a second. I mean, you mean to tell me that Ilhan Omar doesn't have anything to do with all of these fraudsters? All of her friends keep getting busted for all of these scams. They're taking in money for, you know, to feed the hungry, and they're not actually doing that. So you have to wonder, especially with seeing how close Ilhan Omar is to all of these people who are ending up being convicted of these things, you have to wonder how many people within the federal government are actually helping these people, or how many people over in China are setting up these systems and sending their family members to come in and secretly infiltrate in our country. I mean, however many people are involved in it, it has to be a lot. And it's been going on for quite some time. None of that is good news for the country, by the way.
Okay, so let's switch gears here to more horrible news. Why are there so many mosques down here in God's country in Texas? I mean, you don't think that. People come from out of state. They think it's going to be a big church on every corner. And while we do have a lot of those, there are a lot of mosques here. What's happening?
Well, what's happening is simply that all of the, you know, the Islamic ideology has decided that they could take up shop here in the state of Texas because we love the First Amendment so much, right? We are rootin' tootin' conservatives here in the deep red state of Texas. Did you hear? I almost said blue. That was a Freudian slip. And they think that they can come here, and they can, because we have decided to just love the First Amendment so much that we are going to allow Islam to come into our state and weaponize it against us. And that is what is happening. Too long, conservatives have said, oh, live and let live. We'll just let them be. Can't they practice their religion too? The problem is, it's not a religion. It's an ideology, and it is a way that their government is run. And do you think that they would give you the same grace? Would they give Christians the same grace? Freedom of religion. Come on, they can come set up their Christian churches. If you were in a Muslim majority country, of course not. They are weaponizing the First Amendment against us. And here in the state of Texas, they have realized that they can target us because conservatives care about that type of thing. The problem is, it's just going to be used and abused against us until they get the majority. And I think we all know what happens next, because that's what they always do. They come here to conquer. And unfortunately, Texans are asleep at the wheel.
Okay. We have been asleep at the wheel. I'm sure we still are asleep at the wheel. Are we starting to wake up? I'm not talking about you personally, the leadership Sure. of this state. Are we starting to get some traction to fight back against this stuff?
Yes, I will say yes. And even people who have previously been kind of squishy on the issue or squishy on conservative issues at all are starting to see the writing on the wall, Jesse, not because they believe something didn't. They've had some revelation, some eye-opening experience. I don't actually believe that they have. I'm more cynical about it. I think they just see the writing on the wall, and they see that the grassroots activists will vote them out of office, and they don't want to lose power. And so if remaining in power means that they finally crack down down on this issue that has been quietly infiltrating, quietly taking over the state of Texas for decades now, if that means that they finally have to pay attention to that and do something about it, they're going to. And I think that's why we're starting to see traction within the state of Texas with these local and statewide officials who previously have turned a blind eye, who previously, by the way, I won't name drop. I'll just say people who have taken money from Muslim donors in the past, all of a sudden are engaging in tough talk here in the state of Texas. I don't think that that's an accident. I think that they do understand that they just want to remain in power. And if they don't, the party will vote them out. I think that that's simply what it is. But by the way, Jesse, I'll take that, right? Whatever it is that gets them to act, yeah. I'll take. I just think I know their true motives.
Yeah, if we have to whip them into doing the right thing, then so be it. Okay, lastly, there is a really important Senate primary going on in Texas. We have an opportunity to send a really, really bad human into retirement. How's that looking?
I think it's looking better and better for Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton every single day. The John Cornyn campaign is floundering. Every day they make it worse for themselves. I don't know how much they're paying their PR people, but whatever it is, if it's more than $0, it's way too much money because he constantly puts his foot in his mouth on social media. They're constantly trying to create a record of John Cornyn that simply does not exist. It just simply, there are no receipts to show that John Cornyn has voted with President Trump 99%. Of the time, and every single time that they create another lie, Paxton's team is there to call it out. And the people of Texas are paying attention to this one. The people of Texas are tired. You mentioned these local and statewide officials who are actually finally starting to act within with the topic of Islam. You also have, I think, the grassroots who are awakening, and they are finally saying, you know what? We're not going to have this rhino incumbent any longer. We need true conservative representation. And I have to believe, Jesse, maybe it's just my optimism because I will cry if this dinosaur gets elected again. But I really do believe that the tide is turning and there is a shift. And as long as we get turnout, as long as nobody says, oh, it's okay, my neighbor will do it, as long as there is turnout that will be true reflection of what Texans want, we will see Senator Ken Paxton come next year.
Fingers crossed. Sarah, appreciate you. All right. The great senator from the state of Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, is going to join us next. That was a lot of Ron, Wisconsin and Johnson. I didn't even mean to do that. But wasn't that amazing? I just did that on the fly. Totally accidental. Let me ask you something. Do you own a home and do you have high interest debt? Talking interest rates in the 20s, 30s. You understand that American financing, it's your exit strategy. That's what this is. It's a way to climb out of that hole that seems like it's impossible to climb out of. When you are paying 20, 30%, it just seems like you can't ever get ahead. You're barely keeping your head above water. But American financing has a plan. They have been getting people out of this high interest debt for a very, very long time. At least make a phone call and find out what they might be able to do for you. You can get out of it. You know that, right? It is possible. People do it all the time. Call 866-891-2821. That's 866-891-2821. Or go to AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
For unvaccinated, we are looking at a winter of severe illness and death for unvaccinated. For themselves, their families, and the hospitals, they'll soon overwhelm.
We must increase vaccinations among the unvaccinated with new vaccination requirements. This is not about freedom or personal choice.
My administration is now requiring federal workers to be vaccinated. We've also required federal contractors to be vaccinated. If you have a contract with the federal government working for the federal government, you have to be vaccinated. We're requiring active duty military to be vaccinated. We're making sure healthcare workers are vaccinated because if you seek care at a healthcare facility, you should have the certainty that the people providing that care are protected from COVID and cannot spread it to you.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin. And your refusal has cost all of us.
Our patience is wearing thin. I don't know that I'll ever get over the United States president thinking he can talk to me that way. Joining me now, Senator Ron Johnson, who doesn't talk to anybody that way, of the great state of Wisconsin. Senator, I don't know. I think I need to stop playing these old montages because they just make me angry all over again at what we did to the people in this country and how many people we forced to get an injection they didn't want and that harmed them.
No, never stop playing those. Never stop playing those. I know so many Americans just want to move on, but we have not had a reckoning in terms of our miserably failed response to COVID. And I think, as you know, I held a hearing last week, issued a new report. This is a bombshell. The title is Unmasked: How Biden Health Officials Purposely Turned a Blind Eye Toward COVID-19 Vaccine Safety Signals. And the short story on that was on March 1st of 2021, Jesse, the head of CBER, Peter Marks, the group then at the FDA that is charged with overseeing vaccines, their approval, and the safety surveillance, was warned by their data mining expert, who's working with the inventor of the algorithm that analyzed VAERS, that the current algorithm was going to hide and mask safety signals. You got a multi-page briefing on March 1st. 26 days later, that same individual working with the inventor came up with a new algorithm and presented the results of unmasked analysis. They showed 49 cases of extreme masking of adverse events, 25 safety signals of very serious adverse events, including sudden cardiac death, pulmonary infarction, Bell's palsy, different types of strokes. They continued month after month doing these special runs, and FDA ignored them. They shunted them off the side. They told Anna Sharpstein, she was the hero here, they told her to cease and desist. Your input, your data is not welcome. Work on what we tell you to work on. We're going to keep using this system that we know hides safety signals so we can go and mandate the vaccine. We can go and tell people it's safe and effective. We can go tell people that we're not seeing safety signals. What adverse events occur are rare and mild. It was all a lie. And anybody who got vaccinated after March 1st, or certainly March 26th, when they could have had fully informed consent that these things were not 100% safe, that there were very serious adverse events as a consequence of you trying to protect yourself, you ought to be pretty PO'd. And let's face it, 39,000 people worldwide have been reported deaths on VAERS. 24% of those deaths occurred on the day of vaccination, the 1 or 2 days. Again, I didn't need a sophisticated mathematical model to tell me in 2021 something was going terribly wrong, where from the start of VAERS, 1990 through 2020, on average, a couple hundred deaths associated with, for example, different vaccines, you know, anaphylactic shock, that type of thing. 2021, 21,000 deaths. 21,000 deaths. And these people, these evil actors inside FDA, were hiding behind this system they knew would mask the adverse events and lying to the American people, saying they're rare and mild, we're just not seeing safety signals. So they were being shown month after month safety signals on sudden death, on stroke, all kinds of horrible, life-threatening and, you know, full-time physically disabling type of adverse events. And they said nothing. They instead mandated this. They were concerned about vaccine hesitancy. We see it in the report. You see their emails. By the way, you also see further evidence of them hiding and not putting things in federal records and not putting things in emails. Just like Dr. David Morin's, by the way, my staff is the one that pulled that email out of that needle out of a haystack with a projection, not from HHS records, from one of the universities who gave us records. On a 115,000-page production, my staff pulled that email that resulted in his prosecution.
Senator, I don't even know where to begin. First of all, you know what? Let's begin right here. You brought up the word evil, and I'm so glad you used that word because it seems so deeply, deeply evil to knowingly mislead the American people while, in many cases, flat out forcing this thing into people's arms. So was this about money? Is it come down to money? Is that all this was?
I think that, you know, once they approved it, they didn't want to be proven wrong, right? Another example of evil, March 2021, they were starting to treat the injection injured. They were acknowledging that their injuries were you know, vaccine injuries, okay? And they told these 23 individuals they eventually treated, stay silent. We're going to complete our studies, then we'll publish it, then we'll acknowledge these vaccine injuries so others can be treated. They never published that study. They never acknowledged these vaccine injuries. To this day, they're claiming they're safe and effective, and whatever vaccine injuries there are rare and mild. I mean, this continues to be a five-year cover-up because nobody will admit they're wrong, because the consequences of admitting you're wrong, that means you potentially recommended something to somebody that killed them or permanently disabled them. Again, 1.7 million adverse events worldwide, 39,000 deaths, and according to a Pilgrim study at Harvard, less than 1% of adverse events are ever reported to VAERS. So multiply that. I mean, you could be looking at 3.9 million deaths, and nobody knows the figure. We just know it was reported, and what was reported was bad enough. Jesse, in comparison, swine flu, 1976, I'm old enough. I lived through that. I got that shot. 25 to 30 deaths, 400 to 500 cases of Guillain-Barré disease. They pulled that vaccine. It was off the market. They weren't going to subject. We had 21,000 deaths in the first year. We had a couple thousand within the first few months. When I confronted Francis Collins about that, he said, well, Senator, we've attributed six of those deaths to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but for the other 2,900, Senator, you know, people die. It is evil. It's evil what happened. These people need to be held accountable. Our investigation just begun. Now we have the documents. Now we start interviewing people. Anybody associated, anybody on these email chains, anybody who would have been aware, we will interview them, transcribe interviews. They better be honest, or at a minimum, we'll convict them of perjury.
Are you happy with what you're seeing from the DOJ and as it pertains to this stuff?
They've been so overwhelmed trying to produce millions of pages of Epstein documents, they have not had time to focus on this. Listen, I appreciate the new HHS Inspector General's office finally taking this serious. You know, we presented that to David Morin's email to Biden's HHS IG, did nothing with it. It took Trump to get into office, get people up to speed. Unfortunately, these take time. Proving crimes take time. And of course, Biden pardoned Fauci. We provide so many protections, liability protection for vaccine manufacturers, anybody associated. Federal government employees have unbelievable protections. But I tell you, lying and fraud can hopefully pierce those protections so they can be held accountable.
Senator, to ask the lamest question in the world, aren't there supposed to be protections in place so that drugs that go to the market or treatments, whatever we want to call it, harmful ones, don't ever get there? Isn't there supposed to be some long, extensive testing thing so this kind of thing doesn't happen? Isn't that something we have?
Well, that's what the FDA, that's what these people in the FDA were supposed to do. Again, they all knew this was Operation Warp Speed. We rushed these to market, so they're going to have a robust safety surveillance system. They have something called V-Safe. 10 million people participate in that. ICANN had to sue them twice. Took a year and a half just to get the results of what should have been made public in real time, because 7.7% of the 10 million people had to seek medical care after their vaccination. 25% lost time at work or couldn't continue. They didn't want that public, just like they didn't want these safety signals that Anna Schwarzman was telling them existed. They continued to deny it. They hid behind this system that they knew would mask the safety signal. So no, again, they knew exactly what they were doing, but they just didn't want to admit that they probably never should have given that emergency use authorization. And of course, the worst thing is we can't create vaccine hesitancy. You know, vaccines, amen. Read Aaron Seary's book and you'll start seeing how incredibly corrupt the entire vaccine industry and vaccine science and studies have been and still are.
Senator, thank you. Honestly, genuinely, thank you for being on this. Please stay on him. I appreciate it. At least someone cares. All right. I need to lighten the mood. I'm so mad right now. I need to lighten the mood. We have a wonderful one. Next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And suicide is a terrible, terrible thing. And these people, it's happened many times before, who talk somebody out of it when they're getting ready to make the worst decision ever, their last decision ever, they are saints. Sit back and enjoy this.
Whatever you're going through, man, you can get through it. Now, listen, man, listen. Listen, you can get through this. Come on, let's talk about it for a minute. Can I at least have prayer with you? You believe in prayer, I know that. Can I at least have prayer with you? You mind if I just hold your hand and pray with you? Come on, man, touch my hand. Touch it from this side. Look at my hand. Just touch my hand. Just touch my hand, man. I'm praying with you. You're hurting, but if you jump, you're going to hurt other people. And they're going to be hurting just like you're hurting now. The cycle got to stop of hurt. The sight of hurt got to stop. Come on, man. Come on, please. There you go, man. Come on, man.
Come on, man. Come on, bro. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. It's all right. It's all right.
I love you. We all love you. We wear this badge for many reasons. This is the main reason. To reach those whom the devil thinks he got. He ain't got you. We got you, all right? Yeah. All right. Come on.
Dusty in here. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.